God's Passion for His Creation by Mark DeVoe. You shall long for the work of your hands, Job 14:15. Consideration is rarely given concerning the passions of God, yet He has passions just like His created beings have. Where do you think our passions, enthusiasm, emotions, feelings, and desires come from? Have you ever thought about the sense of beauty, balance, and proportion that our Father had, and still has, when He created the universe we occupy? How about the beauty and the awe-inspiring wonder of our abode in the almost endless procession of flowers, trees, wildlife, and sea creatures that are home to this planet? How about the starry sky we see when we look up into the heavens and at the magnificent expanse that we view, knowing that we can observe only an extremely small fraction of the heavenly bodies and expanse that God put there? What is needed is a significant adjustment of our thinking about our Father and His complex and varied personality. The book of Job gives us a character study of a man, Job, who lost everything, or so he thought. As Job is going through his trials and tribulations, the one thing that he is sure of is his resurrection that will occur one day in his future. It is his belief that God, his Redeemer, will raise him one day because God longs for the work of his hands. You shall call, and I shall answer you. You shall long for the work of your hands, Job 14:15. God created his universe in perfection, yet he also brought in sin, and along with sin he brought misery and disappointment with it, so that he could make something far better out of the ruins of his creation. God has bigger plans than what we now see all around us. He wisely and lovingly pre-planned a far different outcome, one that will be fully seen when he brings the course of human and celestial history to a climax one day. God couldn't bring about all of his gloriously desired outcome without the backdrop of sin and misery. Only when we recognize this will we begin to understand the true personality and passion of our Heavenly Father. Does anyone really think that God wanted to bring sin and misery into the creation as some experiment just to see how people would react and respond? As the divine prerequisite to all of his creation being brought into ultimate communion with him and his love, he first had to alienate it from himself so as to win them back through his Son, Jesus Christ. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. Psalm 90, verse 3. Adam and Eve had the perfect world, as it were, yet there was no strong connection between them and God. They lacked for nothing and became blasé, and hence were not thankful for what they had. There was no contrast in their lives, so there was no longing on their part for God, for they didn't see their great need for Him. God had to put emptiness and longing for Him in their lives and hearts, as well as the rest of creation. Ultimately, this is the only way, by bringing in sin and misery, that He could accomplish this masterful plan, Logos, of His. God is not willing that any should perish, and that all should come to the knowledge of Him, for He is the God of all things, and in Him all things consist. Who wills that all mankind be saved and come into a realization of the truth? 2 Timothy 2:4. What God wills cannot be weakened or abandoned. God won't lose anyone, for He is a God of passion, and His passion for humanity and creation won't allow Him to do anything else.